Good morning, Park Place. God bless you. It's another day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we are thankful that God is still faithful. He is still present. In spite of everything that we may have gone through this week, in spite of everything that we may have gone through this year, God continues to be faithful to us, and we're so grateful for that today. We will not be before you long, but there is a message that God is wanting us to understand today. And so we find ourselves in Isaiah 41 and 10. In Isaiah 41 and 10. And it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Dear Lord, we
thank you for your blessings upon this church, and not just this church, but your people everywhere they are. Lord, we are so grateful that this is another day that you've created just for us, so that we can walk with you, talk with you, communicate with you, and fellowship with you as our Father and our Creator. Now, Lord, today bless each one and everyone that is viewing this, Lord, wherever they are. See the needs, see the desires, Father, and in your faithfulness, I pray that you meet those needs and desires. Lord, today I pray that I decrease, but as your preacher, Lord, I pray that your spirit within me increase to give the word the way that you gave it to me. I thank you for it, Lord, in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to preach today from the topic, I am, I will. Again, I am, I will. As we look at this phrase, I am, we have to understand that I am is only one of the names of God that he has revealed to us. Each name of God gives an understanding of his character. It helps us to understand how he is operating in the lives of his people at the time that he reveals his name. And so when we think about the names of God, we can see that one of the names of God is Adonai. And Adonai was a name that Abraham understood in Genesis 15 and 2. He understood it to mean Lord and Master. And so when you say Adonai, God immediately understands, number one, that you are calling him. This name Adonai does not apply to anyone else. And different than the adjectives that we may have that apply to our names, this name Adonai and all of the names of God are specific to, they are attributed individually to God himself. El Elyon is a name that we see in the encounter with Melchizedek. It means the Most High God. El Elyon means the Most High God. When that name is uttered, when that name is revealed in Scripture, it is revealing to his characteristic of being the Most High God. Elohim. Elohim means God of power and might. And we see the name Elohim referenced in Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So when you see Elohim referenced, it means God of power and of might. So now today we are looking at and we're examining this name, I am that I am. I am that I am. And as we look, we can see a reference to this in Exodus, the third chapter. If you read this chapter, you will see that this is a time that Moses finds himself in the wilderness. And as he is in the wilderness and he is caring for the sheep, he suddenly sees in the distance a bush that is burning, but it's not burning up. So the bush was burning enough to get his attention from where he was and to draw him in to where the bush was. But as he got there and he saw that the bush was on fire, he noticed that it's not burning up. He noticed that it is sustained with the same amount of intensity. And he realizes that he is seeing something that he has never seen before. When we hear the name I Am, it means that God is revealing a part of his character that is different, that is distinct, that we've never seen before. I Am. And so we see that Moses, in drawing near to the bush, the voice of the Lord comes from the bush and says, "Remove your sandals from your feet because you're standing on holy ground." And so this name I Am also means that God is moving his people from a place of a common walk with him to a place of a sanctified and an anointed and a dedicated walk with him. Why? Because they have to remove their shoes. Moses had to remove his shoes, meaning you're not walking with me after this encounter the way that you walked with me before. I am going to reveal a new path for you. I'm going to reveal a new direction for your life. Moses had been walking and he had been operating in a direction that was different from the destiny and the assignment that God had given him. Remove your shoes, Moses, because you are standing on holy ground. I Am, this name I Am, calls his people to walk with him in a new way, in a different way, in a sanctified way, in a way that is indicative of a relationship with I Am. And so now that we are seeing this name I Am, we have to understand, what does it describe about God's character? It preludes God's response to the cries of his people. This name I Am says, I have heard your cries. I have heard your prayers. It is a name that encourages God's people, and it is a prelude to let you know that when I Am is uttered, it means that I have heard, and there is going to be a response to your prayers. There is going to be a response to your cries. There is going to be a response to your fasting. I Am has heard the prayers of his people. In verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." I know their sorrows. "And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of their land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them." So make no mistake, when man cries out to God, he hears and he answers. And when this name I Am is spoken, it means that God has not only heard the prayers of his people, he has responded to them by giving a prelude to the fact that he is coming down. He's coming down to see what is going on with his people. If we look in the story of the Tower of Babel, we see that God had to come down to see what was going on with the people. He came down. We see that when we were lost in sin, Jesus Christ, in the form of a baby, was born into the earth. Why? Because Jesus had to come down to see about mankind and to provide remedy. But we see also here, when the name I Am is mentioned in Scripture, that it means that God is coming down. He is coming personally to check on his people. And so now we look at where we are in this world. We look at the situations and the circumstances that we are facing, not just us, but the unbeliever as well. And we are encouraged today by the scripture that says in Isaiah 41 and 10, for us not to fear, not to be dismayed, for I am is your God. I am your God. Today as a church, today as a communities, today as people everywhere, we need to call to remembrance the fact that I am is our God. Our God is not the circumstances that we face from day to day. Our God is not the things that cause us to be afraid and dismayed. Our God is not what people say about us and how they define us. Our God is an almighty God that changes not, that he is the same today and yesterday and forever. And the same promises that he made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob are the promises that he made to us. And the same promises that he made through Jesus Christ in saying, if I be lifted up, I draw all men to me. And if you believe in me, then I will bring you into myself as a chick. I will protect you. I will, as in Psalms 91, overshadow you. It is that I am that we think about today, that we have to call to remembrance as we deal with the issues and the problems in this world. It's that I am. And so now, I am gives us courage to face our enemies head on. So not only is I am his character there to prelude what he is going to do and how he is responding to our cries and our prayers, but I am also gives us courage to face our enemies head on. When the scripture says here in Isaiah 41 and 10, to fear not and to not be dismayed, he understands that it is our character to be dependent on him. The word of God says that we are like sheep, and sheep depend on the shepherd. Sheep do not protect themselves. They do not lead themselves. Sheep need a shepherd. It is built into the psyche of a sheep to need a shepherd to direct them and to guide them and to protect them wherever they go. And so I am gives us courage to face our enemy head on. When I am appears, he appears to cause us to stand up, to remember who we are in God, and to move to the places that God has prepared for us. In verse 16, it says, go, in Exodus 3, it says, go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeareth unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. In other words, he reminds us that now you have been at a place where you were afraid, where you would not dare have much to say about your situation. But now that I am is here, I am has gone to Moses and revealed himself to Moses. And now Moses has been instructed to go to the elders of Israel and reveal I am to them, to reveal the fact that he's on his way, that he has come down to deal with the situation. But now he has to work with, he has to help the elders to have courage to utter the fact that he is coming to deliver his people. And so it gives us courage. His name, I am, endues us with courage. In verse 17 says, and I have said, I will bring you up out of affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and of the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. and they shall hearken to my voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Wait a minute. So you're telling me, Pastor Todd, that I'm going to have courage to face the thing that I have been afraid of, to face the thing that has caused me to be dismayed, to face the thing that has caused me to live in fear, and suddenly I'm going to say to that thing, you have no power over me because I Am has heard my prayers. You have no power over me because I Am has seen my petition. And not only has he seen it, but he has come down to deal with it personally. These are the days and these are the times where we say to the sicknesses that we deal with, I Am has seen my prayers. I Am has heard my petitions. So you're not fighting me, the person now. You're fighting Almighty God in the person of I Am, his character, I Am. He says, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So God sees the challenges that we face. And he sees that in us facing those challenges, that they are too much for us. That it is too much for us to continue to pray about, to continue to fast about, to continue to cry about. And he comes to a point where he says, now I must act. We look at the worldwide death toll of COVID-19, worldwide, not just in the United States. And I Am has to act. I Am has to put in place a remedy for this situation. We look at the closing of societies and how people are becoming separated. We look at the fact that as we become further and further apart from one another, our bonds and our connections become weaker. And we were meant to be together. We were meant to multiply and to subdue the earth. He instructed that. But now we are drawn further apart. I Am has to come in and provide a remedy. People in this day and time are living in fear of the unknown. See, what we are dealing with now is we are dealing with a fear of the unknown. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen next week? Will I be able to pay my bills? What is going on with my relative that I haven't seen in months? What will happen with my children? Will they be okay? It's the fear of the unknown. And this is why God said to us, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It is I Am that has to come into the scenario right now. And it is I Am that is giving us strength. He says to us, don't fear. Do not fear. This word fear is the Hebrew word yare. And it means to cause to feel dread. It means to be frightened and to impart fear. And don't you know, fear is an impartation. Fear itself is an impartation. It is not a natural part of man to be afraid. It is not a natural part of man to have dread and to feel afraid. It's an impartation. So when we think about this word impartation, this word impartation means something that is given from another reserve. In other words, it is something that is communicated. And so what does Satan do? Satan tries to insert himself into the lives of men that at integral times when we should trust in God, where we should believe in God, where we should see the goodness of God and the power of God, and he attempts to insert fear and to impart fear in those times. And yet we understand that in 1 John 4:4, it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I am comes to remind us that there is a power and there is an authority and there is an anointing that is given to us from God that says greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I challenge everyone today that hears this sermon to remind yourself of who he is. Take a moment and remember and think about who God is. Ask yourself if you are doing justice to your Father, your Heavenly Father, to be afraid of things, to be worried about things, to be concerned about things. This is the day that the Lord has made, and everything about this day was made by him. As we give our cares to him and cast our cares on him, we can depend on him to lead and to guide our steps, because nothing comes to us and nothing impacts us except God gives it permission. The scripture, the word gives us testimony of that. And so no harm can come to us. Nothing can come into our lives except God gives it permission to come into our lives. I'm here today to remind you that deliverance is at hand. I Am has heard our prayers. I Am is answering and is about to answer our prayers, and deliverance is at hand. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Lift up the hands that hang down. See, we were created to praise God. We were created to see his goodness, and our hands automatically go up and we say, thank you, Lord, for revealing to me how good you are. Thank you, Lord, for revealing to me that you are a great God. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a testimony of your deliverance. My hands are raised up in worship to Adonai. But because of the trials and because of the pressures and because of the things that we deal with, we find our hands hanging down, out of order and out of place for an encounter with I Am. So the first thing that he has to do for us is he has to give us the right posture. He has to remind us of what our hands should be doing as children of God. He has to remind us of what our mouth should be doing as children of God, that we should not live a day of complaining, that we should not live a day in fear, that our mouth should utter praises to him for the goodness that he has given us on a daily basis. He reminds us of who he is as I am. Psalms 118 and 17 says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And so what I am does is, I am reminds us that I shall not die, but I shall live. Why? To declare the works of the Lord. One thing that we have to remember as children of God and as people of God is that God has to deliver us. He has to protect us, because although the rocks will cry out if we don't give him praise, no rock can understand my story. No rock can testify that he is a Savior and Lord. No rock can testify that God has faithfully healed me at times when I was sick. No rock can tell the story that God hears the prayer in the silent hour and in the hours of the night when only me and him are awake. Only me and him are communicating one with another. So he has to save me. He has to come down and he has to protect me, because I have a testimony that only this mouth can give. Only this mouth can give. So David understood this in Psalms 118 and 17, saying, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. What happens when we as Christians begin to declare, I cannot die, because I've got to declare who he is. God will not in his righteousness allow us to die when there is so much more that we have to talk about when we are giving glory to him. At the moment in time when people begin to declare, being with life and death being in the power of their tongue, I shall not die. I cannot die because I have a testimony to give. Hezekiah understood this when he said, give me more time because I've got things that I need to talk about. I've got testimonies that I need to give. Satan understands that when we as Christians begin to declare what is and will, what will not be, what will be and what cannot be, that God honors the words of his people because we are the mirror of God and we are his creation, created in his image and in his likeness. I cannot die because I have a testimony of his goodness. I cannot die because I need to testify what he did for my children. I cannot die because I need to testify about how he protected me at a time I needed protection. I cannot die. And so now we understand that he saves us from harm for his glory. We are saved from harm. I am hears and he answers and he comes down because of his glory. He does it so that we can testify of his goodness. And now we have a testimony. Let's look at what he says here. He says in Isaiah 40, I will strengthen you. Meaning, don't give up because I am has come down. At the time that we think all hope is lost, at the time that we look around and it seems like there is no remedy and there is no answer, I am is here. I am it shows up. And his character says that he will provide remedy. It says, I will help you. So what do we need? What do people need this day and this time? We need encouragement. We need to be helped to be encouraged. We need sometimes redemption. We need for him to come and to redeem us and to save us from our sin. Sometimes we need help with physical and emotional healing. A lot of us have gone through things. Many people have gone through things, and you just need him to come and to heal the broken parts of your life. You need him to come and to address trauma that you have endured as a person. Heal me, I am. I need you to come and remind me of who you were, because when I was going through it and it happened to me, then suddenly I doubted your power and your grace. I doubted your provision and I doubted that I could make it through it. But now that I have gone through it, I need you to heal that broken part of me. I need you to vindicate me. I am. I have kept my mouth closed and I have been lied on and things have been said about me that are not true. But as a Christian, I have not defended myself. You said that if I would allow you to defend me, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I need you to vindicate me. I need a financial breakthrough because I have been giving to people and I have been supporting people. But at the time that I need help, I don't have anyone to support me. I need you to show me that you can provide me with a financial breakthrough. And I want you to understand about this name, I am. It means that he's going to do it in a different way than has ever been done before. When God appeared to Moses and he said, I am that I am, is being sent to the people, he did something that had never been done before. He delivered an entire nation in a single day. I am has come. I am and I will is what he is saying to us today. So what we have been crying for and what we have been asking for and what our prayers have been asking for are suddenly about to be answered. He says, I will uphold you. He says, I'll uphold you, meaning you can't fail again. See, the discouragement that we see as Christians is that we think that we will fail again. But I encourage you today, try it again. Do it one more time, now that I am is on the scene, and see if he will not give you a miracle. See if things will not be different this time than they were before. Satan wants you to believe that you can't make it. But God says that not only can you make it, he will carry you through it. He says, I will uphold you. And so I was thinking today about this sermon. And sometimes God uses a regular situation to give us a spiritual message. Today I stepped on the scale. And when I stepped on it, I said, oh, wow, this, I have gained weight. And I began to become discouraged. And I said, how did this happen? I know that I ate during the holidays. I know that I was really enjoying the food that I ate. But then I look at the result of what has happened. And I look at the weight that I have gained. And I suddenly realized that the Spirit of the Lord encouraged me. He said, you're looking at the big problem instead of looking at the remedy. Begin to lose weight a little bit at a time. So we'll start with 10 pounds. And then after you lose 10 pounds, you lose another 10 pounds. And after you lose that 10 pounds, you lose another 10 pounds. And then you'll be right where you want to be. Don't look at the fact that you're in trouble. Don't look at the fact that you have gained weight, not just over this holiday, but it was a gradual process. Look instead at the fact that I am here to help you every step of the way. This is what God did to Moses. God said, first, I have to deal with the deliverer. I have to speak to Moses and reveal to him who I am. Reveal that I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I have to reveal that to him. And then after I reveal this to him and I give him a revelation, then he has to go to the leaders, to the elders of Israel. When we look at the movies, Moses is there with Aaron. But according to scripture, it was Moses, Aaron, and the elders of Israel. All of these people that were afraid, all of these people that were enslaved and in bondage, they went with Moses and Aaron and declared, we have been commanded by I am that I am to go into the wilderness for 3 days and to sacrifice to our God. So he had to deal with the elders. And then after he dealt with the elders, he had to deal with his people. And it was one plague after the next, where each time there was a plague, God revealed himself to the people, and they suddenly began to believe in I am that I am. They suddenly began to believe that we can be delivered. What does that tell us today? In the story of me looking at my weight and realizing that the Holy Spirit is giving me a remedy, in us looking at Moses and the Israelites and God providing remedy, many of you today are in situations where you look and you say, how did I get here? How did I get to the point where my health is so far along out of where it should be? How did I get to the point where my marriage is so far along out of where it should be? How did I get to the point where my mind is so far gone and so unstable? How did I get to this place? And the Spirit of the Lord says, don't concentrate on how far away you are from me. Concentrate on the fact that I will give you one remedy after another until you're completely free. This word is given today to the church to let you know that I am is here, that I am has come to provide remedy, and that he will deal first with the preachers and the pastors so that he reveals to them who I am is, so that they will be able to carry it to the leadership and the church leaders and help the leaders to know that I am is doing a new thing, that now God has heard the cries of the people in the pulpits. He has heard the cry of the people in the church pews. And now he has heard the cry of the people outside of the church. He deals first with the Moses, and Moses are the leaders. Then he deals with the elders of Israel. The elders are the church leadership. And then he addresses the problems and the fears and the pains and the dismay and the dismantling of the people. That's the church body. I am is here to provide remedy, to provide relief, to provide a new thing. And there is nothing that Satan can do to stop it. There is nothing that he can do to dismantle or to change the plan of God. And right when he thought that he had the world in the grip of his hand, he forgets about the fact that I am has come down to provide remedy for his people. That I am has come down to check on his creation. I am and I will is the message that he gives us today. Amen. Dear Father, we thank you today for the word. We thank you, Father God, for encouragement that you have given us to let us know that nothing gets past you, that nothing gets around you, that your mind is always on us and that your eyes are always upon us. Now, Lord, today, encourage your people everywhere and let them know that things are about to change for them, that things will change little by little, because that is what we need for our faith to catch up to what you're doing in our lives. Lord, bless us. Help us to return to a place of a faith walk in you. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The invitation that we have today is an invitation to return to a place of faith in God. An invitation to believe that I am is with us. The first thing that we have to do is believe that he's with us. We have to believe that he has heard our prayers. We have to encourage ourselves to know that he listens, that our prayers have not gone ignored, that we have a creator that loves us, that the bread of the children is the blessing of God. He has heard, he has answered. For those of you who need to have a return to him in your Christian walk, then he hears you where you are. He is able to save you where you are. He is able to hear your prayer of, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Do you know that sometimes the greatest sin that we have as believers is doubting him? So sometimes we have to say, Lord, forgive me for doubting you. Forgive me for looking at my circumstance and taking my eyes off of my solution, which is you. So the invitation today is a return to walk with him. Lord, forgive me for the sins that I know of. Sins that I know of and maybe things I don't even know about. But I want to walk with you. I want to have a relationship with you. And if our invitation is to just be a stronger, better Christian, God, help me to be a better Christian for you. Help me to operate in a realm of faith. Help me to remember that I've got to spend time with you. I've got to spend time in the Word. I've got to spend time in prayer. So the invitation there is to help us to get back to a place of walking in fellowship with God. That is our invitation today. I wanted every one of us to take just a moment where we are in your own way and pray to God today. He will hear, because remember, he's I am, and he will answer that prayer. I also wanted to invite everyone today, that if you are at home and you need prayer and you just want someone to pray with you, I'm going to remain here at the church for at least a half hour or more. And I'd like for you to feel free to call, and I'd be more than happy to pray with you. The number is 336-472-7149 at Park Place Baptist Church. If you don't get an answer, leave a voicemail. And I promise that those voicemails will be retrieved this week. And we as a church body will pray for you. We will lift you up to God and ask Him to step into your situation. First, to encourage you, to let you know that He is present, and then to provide an amazing spiritual impartation into your life. We thank God today for everyone that has watched through our Facebook channel, and we are asking that God bless you, protect you, and keep you through this holiday season. Dear Father, thank you for blessing us today. Bless each and every one of us and protect us, Lord, as we walk and move and talk in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.